Praise the Lord that His love never fails. He never gives up on us. We fail Him, He never fails us. He is faithful. He will carry it out to completion, that which He's begun in us. As what He begun in you, He will carry it on to the completion, to the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for these moments that we can spend in Your presence. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You dwell within each one of us as believers. Thank You that You're here amongst us, that You're speaking to our hearts even now. You've been working in our lives, Lord, and You continue to work. We thank You for that. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would grab a hold of our minds and our thoughts today with Your word. That You speak to us individually and corporately as a body of Christ. We are Your church. You are the head. We bow before You. We worship You. We don't deserve Your mercy and Your grace, but we are thankful and grateful. We thank You that You never give up on us, that when we fail You, You never fail us, that You lift us up out of the miry clay. You set us upon a rock. And that is our desire today, to build ourselves upon the rock of Jesus Christ, so that when the storms of this life come, we will stand strong, that we will not be blown over, but that we will stand in You. When the testing of our faith is there, we pray, God, that we remain strong in You. We know that we, apart from You, we can do nothing. It's not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit that we can stand. And so we rely upon You and we trust You. We ask, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts today. Draw us close to You. Lord, we've purposed in our hearts to be here this morning. And Your word promises that as we draw near to You, You will draw near to us. And You are a personal God that knows us. You know the very hairs of our head. And You care about each one of us as individuals and as families. You know what each one of us are going through physically, spiritually, emotionally. I pray that You would just draw near to each one and that You would be what each one needs You to be, Lord. Even what we think, maybe we think what we need, but Lord, You have something different for us. And I pray that You would make that clear to each one. We, like Peter, Lord, have sometimes we think we know what's best, but God, You have a better plan, and we want to have Your mind. We want to have Your heart. Peter opposed You and said that, Lord, this is not going to happen to You. You're not going to go and be crucified. You're not going to die. I'll stand up for You, and it's not going to happen. But, Lord, that wasn't Your mind. That wasn't Your heart. That wasn't Your will. We pray that You'd forgive us when we have moments like that, when we say that we have an unclear picture of Your will. We pray, God, that You'd make Your will and Your plan clear to us as we walk in Your ways. Speak to us today, God. Use Your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a Bible verse that you all know. John 3:16. Can we say that together? Hopefully I test my memory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? That's God's love for you. And I want to play a video and that kind of has impacted me. It's all taken from Scripture. This is God's heart for you and for me.
To experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter. to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me, you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. And brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child, and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. For you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. You seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love.
In your relationship with God, your Father. God wants us to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And he made it possible through his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son. And as we receive him, as we believe on him, we receive God the Holy Spirit into our lives to guide us and be our comforter, be our wisdom, be our protector, to overcome sin. Last time I was able to speak, I spoke about entering into God's presence, spending time with your Heavenly Father. And God wants to spend time with us in a relationship with him. And he's made that possible so that we can come into a relationship with him. The verse that we talked about, in Christ, the thoughts I want to think about today is, in Christ, there is three things that I just want to focus on. There is no condemnation. There is no defeat. And there is no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. There is no defeat. There is no separation. But before we get there, I want to think about that relationship that we have with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that the verse that we talked about, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is God's desire for us, that we would have eternal life. And what is eternal life? God's word says that eternal life is this, that they know you, the only true God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God defines what eternal life is. We think about eternal life being that we live forever, which is a part of that. Because sin has impacted the world. And death has come into the world because of sin. And God told that to man before he disobeyed him and we rebelled against God. That if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. He told him right up front what would happen to him. But he was tempted and he gave into that temptation and we suffer the consequences of that. And before we put ourselves up on a pedestal and say Adam and Eve were the ones that why we're living in this fallen world, we would have done the same things. If we were given the test, we would have done the same things. We see that in our own lives, even as we live this out, this journey that we're on. In 1 John 1, I'm jumping ahead to a verse that I have that says that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at in our hands of touch, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Rewrite this to make our joy complete. This is John writing this. This is one of the disciples that spent time with Jesus. One of the closest of the disciples that spent time with Jesus. And he's proclaiming that which we have seen, that's what we have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. He was giving a personal testimony of how Jesus had impacted his own life. And then he goes on to say, this is what we proclaim. We proclaim what we have seen, what we have felt, what we have touched. This is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. And Jesus is the word of life. We proclaim to you the eternal life. He speaks of Jesus as being eternal life. And that's what we know from what Jesus said as well. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. I am literally the life. I proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. He's proclaiming that Jesus Christ, the one that they've seen, that they've touched, they spent time with, he is eternal life. And we proclaim this to you so that you will have fellowship with us. You'll have fellowship with the Father and the Son and with us as we come into relationship with the Father. His blood, Lord Jesus Christ's blood, brings us into fellowship with one another. And that's what we are today, is the body of Christ. We belong to Jesus. We all brought into fellowship through the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that unless the Father draws us to himself, we cannot know him. Bible says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I'll raise them up at the last day. The Father is the one that draws us to himself. You know, we look for purpose in life, but it's really the Father working in our lives to bring us to that point in our lives where we have to make a decision. Are we going to receive Jesus, or are we going to turn away from him and go our own way? Jesus came seeking for you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came and sought me out. It was him seeking for me. He stood at my heart's door and knocked. If any man opens that door, I will come into him and have fellowship with him and he with me. The Bible says he's knocking on our heart's door. He wants to come into our, have a relationship with us. It's up to us whether we receive that gift that God has given to us in his son, Jesus Christ, and that relationship that we have with him. The Holy Spirit comes to us, and he convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He begins to speak to our lives, and he begins to point out to us where we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of God's standard of perfection. And he convicts us of that sin. We know that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one, right? And that's what the scripture says. None of us are perfect. We have all fallen. There's not one of us that can come before God and say, let me into your heaven. Let me have a relationship with you, because our sin separates us from God. We cannot have a relationship with God because the sin is a wall between us and God. The Bible actually calls us enemies of God because we have sin in our lives. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death and separation from God. We cannot come into the presence of God because of our sin. But because of God's great love for us, he's given us his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. And that's what the scripture says, that God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, died for you and for me. So we have a choice of whether we receive that gift from God and invite him into our lives, or whether we walk away from him. But the Bible declares, if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, he says you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So if we are convicted in our hearts of our sin, and we confess that to God, asking God to forgive us, he promises that he will forgive us. If we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we come into a relationship with him. I remember the day when I was convicted of my sins, that point when God turned the light bulb on in my heart of hearts. And I realized that I was a sinner and I was separated from God, and that I was going to have to pay the penalty for my own sins in judgment, righteously and justly, for my own sins. And that day was a spectacular day, because God, the Holy Spirit, was speaking to me personally and convicting me of my sins personally, and I was able to invite him into my life, and my life changed from that point on. Doesn't mean that I don't experience or haven't experienced these three things that we're going to be thinking about today. Condemnation. When Christ saves us out of our past life, the enemy wants to bring up our past life. He wants to bring us under condemnation. To keep us immobile, to keep us from serving Christ, to keep us defeated. And sometimes the world does that in our own lives, condemns us, and maybe we feel that condemnation. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 8 and look at some verses here. And I want to reflect on, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, there is no defeat, and there is no separation. And one of the verses that we've been focusing on this past week with the kids at sports camp was Romans 8:37. Okay, no. In all these things, there is no... We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, right? I got that wrong. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's there is no defeat. But no condemnation. Look at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. For those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has rescued us from that sin, we are no longer under condemnation. We are no longer under that penalty of death and separation from God. God has released us and forgiven us of those sins. Condemnation means strong disapproval, acting of sentencing or punishment. And that punishment has been lifted from us. We're no longer under that sentence and that condemnation. Jesus became sin for us, and he paid the penalty for our sins. So as we believe in Jesus and confess our sins to him, he removes the penalty of death over us. We stand free to live our lives for Christ. And so when Satan, or even in your own mind and heart, goes back to those times when you failed God, and you want to bring those things back up, don't let that condemn you, but let that cause you to rejoice in God's forgiveness. I don't know what struggles that you're facing or have faced, or you look back. And I think about Peter. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted to be that friend to Jesus. And he even wanted to go to the point of death. And he's like, this isn't going to happen to you, Jesus. Jesus had been just telling him that he had to go and die. And he's like, no way. This isn't going to happen to you. But yet he didn't have the mind of Christ. He didn't have the mind of God in that. God's will was that Jesus would die to pay the penalty for our sins and to give us victory over sin and death. And sometimes we do the same things. We think we know what's best. We push forward. We need God to forgive us in that. The Bible says there is an accuser of the brethren. And one day he'll be hurled down and put away in a, never to be able to roam again. But he is accusing the brethren. He does accuse us. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the world. Jesus is our advocate. He stands before the Father and says, "You are one of mine. I am one of his." He advocates before the Father. So I encourage you, if you have a tendency to keep mulling over the things where you have failed, surrender those to the Lord and ask him just to put them under the blood of Jesus, no longer to condemn you, and move forward, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to the mark that God has called you to. The second thing is that in Christ Jesus, there is no defeat. And as you look at the scriptures here in Romans, and I want to encourage you to not be scared with Romans, because it is, you know, difficult through reading through it. Just like the book of Revelation, don't get scared about reading the book of Revelation. Read it. God says he will be blessed for the one who reads it, right? And as we read the book of Romans, don't get tied down. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and pull out those nuggets of truth that God has for you and that you want to, that he wants you to focus on. But as you look at the scriptures here, you find a contrast with the sinful nature and those that are controlled by the sinful nature and those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of your sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For we did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. And if you go back to chapter 7, you look at the struggle that Paul has with sin. We know that the law, in verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that nothing good in me that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor know the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. And as you look at the scripture there in chapter 7, you see I a lot. I is repeated over and over. It's the struggle with myself, my sinful nature. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death, this struggle over sin? There's only one person that can rescue us, and that is Jesus Christ, and giving us the Holy Spirit to overcome and walking by the Spirit. And that's where chapter 8 is the answer to chapter 7. And you see in chapter 8 that it's the Spirit of God. It's living by the Spirit. It's walking with the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. It's this Holy Spirit that gives us the power over sin and death. And as we live by the Spirit, we'll find that victory that we're looking for in our lives over sin and over condemnation. As you look at that contrast, this is what the contrast looks like. The sinful nature, the mind that sets, if you set your minds on the sinful nature and the desires that our sinful nature has, you're going to reap the consequences of that. And the consequence of that is death. It's not what we're looking for, is it? It's life. We're going to reap death. The sinful nature is hostile to God. It's an enemy of God. It's working against God. Our sinful nature will not and cannot submit to God's law. It won't submit to God's law. I pray the Holy Spirit controls my sinful nature, because all of us have that sinful nature and that bent to sin. Or, you know, the scripture says in James that we sin because of those evil desires within us. It's not God who's tempting us. It's our own evil inclinations of our own heart that pulls us away from God. And I pray the Holy Spirit, reign over my sinful nature because I can't. The sinful nature cannot please God, the scripture says. What's the contrast of that? Setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. The mind set on the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit desires, brings life and peace with God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, the scripture says. A life lived by the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, lives in obedience to God. In 1 John, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Living our lives in obedience to God, and when we sin, confessing that sin to God. Asking God, the Holy Spirit, to search our hearts and try us. Show if there's any offensive way in us, that we might confess that to him. We might be led in the way of his everlasting. There is no defeat in Christ. He gives us the victory. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, talks about the sufferings that we experience in this world. And Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're suffering, maybe you're going through a struggle physically, emotionally, spiritually, to hold on to Christ. He will give you the victory. As the scripture encourages us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses of those who have gone before us and have lived the faith, even facing death, some of them were victoriously rescued from being killed, but others gave of their lives. Because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your minds on things above. Set your minds on the things that the Spirit desires. That's how we win over the sinful nature. Not dwelling on the things that the sinful nature desires, but dwelling on the things of the Spirit. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're spending time with him. We're focusing on his word. Renewing our hearts and our minds with God's word. And God will give you the victory. With everything by prayer and petition, let your request be made known to God. If you're struggling with suffering, or if you're struggling with temptation, whatever you're struggling with in this life, commit it to the Lord. And God says he'll give you his peace. And it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It gives us some things that we can do in this battle against the sinful nature and living by the Spirit. The Word of God says in verse 13, "For if you live according to sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Putting to death the misdeeds of the body, reckoning yourself dead to sin, determining in your heart that you're not going to live according to the sinful nature, but you're going to live by the Spirit. And the Bible promises us in the verse that the kids learned and the adults learned this week in 8:37. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Memorize God's Word and use God's Word defensively and offensively against the enemy. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. In verse 26, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." We are not defeated because the Spirit of God is interceding for us. And Jesus also, it goes on to say in verse 34, "Who is He that condemns us? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Jesus is also interceding for us. How can we be defeated as God's children? The Bible says, "Submit yourselves then to God," surrendering yourselves to God, resisting the devil and the temptations that you face. The devil has to flee from you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And when you've taken your stand, stand firm then with the armor of God put around you. And it goes on to say, keep on praying for all the saints. We need to keep on praying for each other. We're in this together, this journey that we're on. You see your brother, sister struggling with whatever life that they're facing, come alongside and pray for one another. And I know that happens here. Even Paul encourages the Christian to pray for him. We think of Paul as one of those super apostles. He says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." We will not be defeated. Brothers, pray for us. He asks for prayer for himself. Keep on praying for one another. The third thing is, in Christ, there is no separation. God doesn't. We are not separated from God. Nothing will separate us. Verse 38. "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a lot of things in this life that we struggle with, and the Bible says that we'll have trouble, but nothing can separate you from the love of God. The Bible says that no one can snatch you from your Father's hand. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." No one can separate us from the love of God. Jesus says to his disciples that in this world we'll have trouble, but one day we're going to be with the Father. We're going to be with Him. Yeah, that marked. That where He is, we will be also. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know me and have seen me. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen the Father, how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living within me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do it. What I have been doing, he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Nothing can separate you from God. Where are you in your relationship with God? Have you believed in him? Or are there sins that separate you from your God? Maybe you've believed on him and maybe you strayed from him. Maybe you're struggling with sin right now. God wants you to come to him. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. Are you struggling with sin? You want God, the Holy Spirit, to cleanse you and give you the victory? God wants to do that for you today. Are you struggling with your past sin and just can't overcome the guilt of your past and it's been condemning you? God wants to free you from that as well. Maybe you need the assurance of God's sustaining grace in your life. Let's look to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for the relationship that we can have with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you there is no condemnation, that we are no longer condemned in our sins, but you have set us free to live our lives for you. We thank you that there is no defeat, that you have given us the victory and that you continue to give us the victory. And I pray, oh God, that if there's someone here that's struggling with sin, we pray, oh God, that you would give them the victory in that. And I pray, God, that you would encourage us that you are always there. That even when we feel that your presence is not there, that you are always there. And that there is no separation from you and us. I pray, oh God, that you would just work in our lives and draw us close to you through your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.